welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So last week, I really did speak on Do Not Believe in Me. How many of you were here last week? Oh, cool. That's most of you. Right, I won't go through much of what I said last week then. But the two key passages were, because we're going to build on them again this week, John 10:37. Jesus said, unless I do the works of the Father, do not believe in me. That's quite a dramatic statement. And what I was suggesting, that as the church, wouldn't it be good? I think we should be standing up and saying, unless you can see the works of the Father, don't bother. Don't bother with us. Don't believe in what we're doing. And actually, I think the world, whether it knows it or not, this is one of the words of Jesus that it has taken a lot of notice of. Because I'm not sure that the church is demonstrating the works of the Father. And actually, in this context, Jesus was quite specifically talking about miracles and the release of power. And this is why we've got to contend and seek and cry out to God and get ourselves before God so that we're seeing the power of God flow through our lives. A bit like we were praying for Nigel earlier, the anointing. The word anointing means smeared. We're smeared with God's anointing. The anointing is the Holy Spirit. And I was saying to Nigel, go and smear God on the people you're going to meet. We sometimes think we've got to have clever words and do clever things, or we panic about preparing a word for a meeting. And it's nothing to do with that. It's just the presence of God with us. It's the anointing that's upon us that enables us to minister. It's amazing that God has called me to speak, because you probably notice quite often I stumble over my words. Maybe you don't, but I do. Or I'll have complete blanks. I'll be talking about something and I just blank out. Even halfway through a sentence, I won't be able to remember the end of the sentence. It's amazing that God called me to preach. I have to depend upon him every time. If I got up and did it in the natural, it would be quite different. Might be entertaining, but it'd be quite different. The other verse we looked at was 1 John 3:8. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The church, well, for too long we've allowed the devil to have the upper hand, and he's running rampant in our nation, and the tide has turned. The church across this nation is waking up. On Wednesday this week, I met with 9 of the other local church leaders at Lamplugh House. And we just spent the morning, sometimes in prayer, sometimes talking, just about the church of Scarborough. And one of the blessed things for us is that unity amongst those leaders. You know, that real sense of common purpose, that sense of making Jesus known in our town. And we do come from wildly different directions and cultures and different understandings, but there's a real common ground of Jesus Christ is Lord. We're moving forward together and working together and supporting one another. I'm sure it's not universal amongst every single Christian in the town, but amongst the leadership, it's amazing what God has done. And when you're in prayer and you're praying for the leadership of this town, you know, really uplift those leaders, really continue to intercede, because they're strategic people. And the devil won't like Christian leaders standing together, especially from different denominations. I mean, that's just not on, as far as he's concerned. It's just not having that. That is so dangerous. You know, when we can feel comfortable in one another's cultures, that is very dangerous. We might end up actually working together and doing things together. You know, when we can go to St. Mary's and enjoy and just be with our family, it may not be our style, but we're with our family and enjoy the Sunday morning service because they're our family. Something is going to change in this town. Amen. Hallelujah. And we begin to also value and honour what we disagree with, because we realise that those people aren't just idiots, you know, as they would, as internet forums get into, the black and white on internet forums can get very poles apart between people. But when the church begins to realise that they're not stupid for doing that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with honouring them and believing in them, even if they believe in something you don't really agree with. And you say, well, how can you do that? Well, I can do that because God does that.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
He's in every single denomination. even the ones that are dead, God still is there with his arms out wide saying, come back, come back, come back to me. If such a thing actually exists as a completely dead congregation, there's always something of God there. There's always someone who's got a spark of life. Amen. And if the church has been slumbering and quiet, well, our God is a God of resurrection. Amen. And this is the days of the church arising. And there's a lot of churches like this arising, but it's about the whole church arising. All over this nation, there's buildings like this appearing and people gathering together, which is good because we've got a freedom from routine and ritual. We must be careful not to invent our own. But we also want to see people in the traditional buildings coming back to God. We must pray for the Methodist Church. The Methodist Church is dying out. And there's many people in the Methodist Church that want to change nothing. They're trying to preserve what they have. But instead of preserving, there needs to be new life. It doesn't need putting in a jar and pickling. It needs new life. It needs new seeds. It needs things that look different. Hallelujah. So we must pray for our brothers and sisters in the Methodist Church as well. There's some really good sparks of life in the Methodist Church. But generally, statistically speaking, it's in trouble. Its population have got older and it's not changed, so people aren't going. Hallelujah. Anyway, let's get back to what we're doing. I found this really good quote on what I was going to talk about. It says this: you've only begun to discover the power. Join me and I will complete your training. With our combined strength, we can end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy. Do you know who said it? Darth Vader. No, I noticed that nobody dared admit it. I'm sure there was a few. You look like you recognise where that was from. Yes, it's from the film The Empire Strikes Back. I thought, oh yeah, I found this quote. I thought, that's a good quote. Who said that? Oh, Darth Vader. I'm not sure that's going to be quite right. But so this morning, last week we had Don't Believe in Me. This week we've got The Gospel According to Darth Vader. Hallelujah. He's not miles apart from Jesus, though, there, really, is he? Jesus didn't have the breathing issues. If I could do a good Darth Vader, it'd be good to do I'm the Way, the Truth, and the Life with the right. But can't. So I could imagine Jesus saying, you've only begun to discover your power. Join me and I will complete your training. Sort of. With our combined strength. No, with my strength. He's not interested in the combined. We could end this destructive conflict and bring order to the galaxy. Well, I think there is a measure of Jesus that says, come on, I'm with you. I will be with you. Because that's what Darth Vader is saying. Together, the galaxy. All right. But actually, Jesus says very similar thing again and again and again. It's a fundamental part of our covenant, actually. I will be with you. Why can we see miracles? Why can we speak the word like Elka was doing? Why can we do anything that we're called to do? Because Jesus goes with us. And this morning, I just want us to capture this this vision, really, that Jesus has of the fact that he is with us. I mean, you say, well, I know that. Yeah, but I don't think we do. I think if we actually realize that everywhere we go, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, if you like, because he said, I'll send another counselor, is with us, I wonder if he would do even some of the things we'd do. You know, when we sit watching television, drinking a couple of beers maybe, and stuff comes on the telly, are we really there with the Holy Spirit? I'm not saying anything of what I just said there is necessarily wrong, but it can be wrong. It depends where you're going. But the Holy Spirit is with us all the time. But not as a threat, not to keep us in order, but to enable the flow of the anointing. When Nigel goes out to Kenya, what day is it he said he's going? Friday. When Nigel leaves on Friday, he doesn't, you know, it's not that he goes off on his own. He's going in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's going with an army of people behind him, praying for him, that the anointing flows through him. Nigel Fraser's a clever bloke. He's a doctor, so he must be fairly clever. He's got degrees and stuff and written papers and whatever. But they don't want that. They want the anointing. All right? Forget all that stuff. It doesn't matter how clever or how stupid you are, the anointing flowing through you is what people really want. That's why anyone can preach. Anybody can preach, as long as they've got an anointing. God will use the talents and abilities of that person, but basically, he wants a person that is available. You want to see miracles, you want to see healings, you want to see that kind of stuff, then you just need to be available. Beg your pardon. Because you have the anointing. Genesis 26, verse 3. God says to Abraham, I will be with you and I will bless you. He's confirming what he's already told him at the beginning in Genesis 12. I will be with you. When he's sending him off, I will be with you. Wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we undertake, I will be with you. As we took hold of the promises to have a building in Scarborough and all the frightening aspect that that can bring in terms of, you know, all the stuff that you realise that's going to have to be in place, the work that's going to have to happen, the bills that are going to have to be paid, Jesus says, I will be with you. And I will bless you. Whenever fear comes upon you, whenever you feel that you can't do something, remember, I will be with you and I will bless you. It enabled Abraham to leave a home, an area that his family had been in for generations. And he moved from Ur to fulfill the promise of God on his life. And God loved the fact that he got faith. Why had he got faith? Because he got this sense of God saying to him, knowing, I am with you and I will bless you. So, with this beginning covenant, if you like, with Abraham, God saying that he would bless him. So this is an explanation of what God means when he says, I will bless you. His blessing is his presence. One of the reasons we come together to worship together is to seek his blessing. What's his blessing? His presence. He comes, he joins us. Now he's always with us, but there's also the sense of the presence of God increasing. Okay, he's not just a person that's either there or not there. He's a spiritual presence that increases. He will never leave you. He's always with you. But we always are seeking God for more of the anointing. In other words, that more of the Holy Spirit would flow through us and less of us would get in the way and prevent it. When God tells us to do something and we don't do it because we're scared, we got in the way of the flow of God's anointing. And what was going to happen if we'd done it, won't. But if we step out, and often we step out in fear and trembling, God is with us and encourages us and lifts us up. It's not us, it's his anointing upon us. And he will always be asking you to do things you cannot do. Because if you can do them, you'll just do them in your own strength. God is always about, here's something for you to do that's beyond what your ability can enable. All right, here's something for you to do that you cannot do. It's often a good sign when you believe God is calling you to do something. If you know you can't do it, it's a good initial sign that it is from God. And it can be that it isn't, but that's a really good sign. Can you do that? Yeah, I could do that. That's fairly easy for me. We need to really pray about this then, because that might not be God. That might not be God. What is it you want to do? Well, I was thinking that God wants me to set this up, but I really don't know how to go about it. I really don't know about what to do. Sounds like that could be God then. Because you're going to have to learn from him. You're going to have to discover from him. And when we began looking for a building, for example, I didn't really know very much about buildings at all, but I knew God would be with me and he would show me. And we saw various buildings and he took us through various places and we learnt lots along the way until he gave us this one and we were really properly equipped. I still had quite a lot of things that I didn't really understand or didn't really know. But then when Jesus says, I will be with you, he also brings other people alongside you to help you with skills and talents and things that you need. and God brought Ron along, and he was an amazing help in the beginning of getting this building, because he knew all this stuff. It was brilliant. And there's been many, many others as well who've, you know, really enabled this place to come into being. And it's like God says, I'll be with you. I will give you everything you need. I will provide for you. And that includes people coming alongside you. So that's, if you move on through all these covenant promises, get the words the right way around. When God is directing Jacob later on back to the land of his fathers, he's telling him to get back to the promised land. He reminds him of the promise. In other words, he's saying, right, get back to the purposes of God that are on your life. When he says to us, get back to the purpose I have for you, in Genesis 31:3, Jacob, God says to him, I will be with you. It's interesting that later on, when Jacob is recalling the promise, he puts it slightly differently. And he's recalling the promise, and he says, God said to me, go back to the land of your fathers, and I will prosper you. But yet God said, I will be with you. But he understood, you see, that to have God with you, to have his presence, means you're going to prosper. Prosper is God's favour. We cannot possibly, to be prosperous, to live in the favour of God. We cannot possibly have God with us and not prosper. What does prosper mean? It means to be successful. God is not about failure and nothing succeeding. He's about his gospel succeeding. He's about that seed of truth being sown into people's hearts and coming to complete fruition, and people getting saved and born again, and their families getting saved and born again. He's about people being healed, because that is the power of God successfully impacting their lives. If we're called to the workplace, he wants to prosper what we do in the workplace. He wants us to be a success. Our work should glorify God. People should look at it and say, wow, you just seem so lucky, maybe they'll say. But you know that it's blessing. Why is it blessing? Because blessing is God's presence upon your life. God's presence means you will prosper in what you do. I mean, we have to work diligently. It's not like we just sit at the desk and do nothing all day, you know. Sit at the computer and do Twitter and Facebook and expect God to bless us at work. You're not going to get blessed at work. You've got to be diligent. You've got to respect your employers and honour your employers and work your best for your employers. It says work for them as though for the Lord. Okay, so if you're not doing that, then don't expect the prosperity bit to come. But if you do that, you will be prospered. And it's in whatever you're doing. If your main job is cleaning, and you do your job of cleaning as to God, right, I'm going to clean this to the best I can, because this is cleaning for Jesus. You know, when you're polishing the worktop, you're polishing it for the Lord. What's going to happen is you're going to get blessed in that place. You're going to get prospered. Maybe you'll be promoted within that job, or another job will come along the way. God will constantly bless you, because we do everything as we do it for the Lord. When you come in, and it's great that people come in and help out here and do things. You can't do a half-hearted job, because you know you're doing it for the Lord. I'm always with you. Well, I'm just doing a little bit of shoddy work today, Lord. Don't look. No, he's with you. He's with you. The anointing's upon you, so that even in cleaning desks or hoovering floors or whatever you're doing, working at a computer, the anointing can be smeared on others around you. Amen. All right? At the moment, my fingers still smell of the oil that I used when I put the oil on Nigel a little while ago when we anointed him with oil. But it's like that with the anointing that Jesus puts on us. There is a fragrance. We might not always smell it, but it's there. And people might not always recognize that it's there. You know, think, what a nice smell. Although sometimes the fragrance of Jesus is like that. Many times in our worship, the fragrance of Jesus has just descended on the place. You think, someone wearing a really nice perfume around me. No, it's just it is a literal fragrance. But whether you smell it or don't smell it, it's still there. and it's penetrating into the lives of people you meet. Amen. Now, occasionally that fragrance can be like a stink in their nostrils. It can be, I don't like that. It can actually cause conflict. But it also enables people to become spiritually alert so that you can have opportunities to speak into their lives or bring miracles. Why would we think that miracles and healings wouldn't happen? Jesus is with us. The trouble is, we always look at what's gone before. We always look at experience and say, but I've prayed for people and it's not happened. Yes, but that was before. This is now. And we're moving into then. And there's a church that's beginning to learn to depend on Jesus. Amen. You can't heal anybody. But Jesus is in you. When you put your hand on somebody, you could imagine this if you like, if it helps. Imagine it's Jesus, his hand put in his hand. How could someone not be healed if Jesus' hand is being put on somebody's head? But your hand is part of the body of Christ. Therefore, your hand is like Jesus' hand, is Jesus' hand being put on their head. They're going to get blessed. You know, when you pray for somebody, that's Jesus' hand going on their head. Even talking right now, there'll be anointing flowing into Brian, just because I'm standing here talking about the anointing flowing into him. All right, he's off. Hallelujah. Blessing is pouring into him, because that's just who we are.
Yeah,
amen. Hallelujah. The power of God's coming on him. Either that or he's falling asleep. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just release the anointing, Lord. Release the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But that's what will happen, because our hand, our arm, is the arm of the Lord. It's almost scary then, isn't it? Oh, wow. Of course something's going to happen. How can it not happen? And the only fact that before I haven't seen things happen is I haven't really grasped this fundamental lesson. This is Jesus. Jesus is doing this. This is Jesus. And you'll go and you'll pray for people, and you might see somebody, you know, you'll pray and they won't be healed, and you'll think, oh, it didn't happen. So what do you do? You think, no, this is Jesus. I'm carrying on. I'm not giving up. I'm putting the past into the past. I'm putting my previous experience behind me, because I know there's something a lot more. And I know that there's a lot more because I've seen it. We've even seen it in our own congregation. We've seen people receive miraculous healing. We've seen people with pains disappearing out of their bodies. Amen. We've seen people with their feet straightening up. We've seen people that couldn't walk being able to walk again. We've already seen it. So we're going to be flowing in it more and more and more. There's two spirals you can get into with this. Because it is based on faith. Jesus mentioned faith a lot. We can't run away from the fact it is faith. What people get scared of, if you say, well, it's faith, they're going to get condemned and feel horrible, or I haven't got enough faith. That's not what we're talking about. In fact, if it's the answer, it's really bad not to talk about it. There's no condemnation. There's no sort of weight upon you, oh, I'm not good enough, I haven't got enough faith, because the faith comes from the anointing as well. Okay? But there's two spirals. And the spiral that the church will often get into is they don't see miracles, so they don't believe in miracles. So they don't see miracles, so they don't believe in miracles. So they don't see miracles, so they don't believe, and it just spirals down. But how about we're on the opposite spiral? I believe we are, very much so. We've seen miracles, so we're believing for them. So we see miracles, so we're believing for them. So we see miracles, so we're believing for them. So we see miracles. That's where we are. And this simple realization, I mean, it is so simple, isn't it? I am with you. Together we will dominate the galaxy. No, no, that's the wrong one. I must be careful not to get Darth Vader and Jesus confused. Jesus wore white, Darth Vader wore black. Ha, anyway, to have God's presence, as Jacob quite clearly points out, is to be prospered. And so I was looking up the Hebrew word for prosper. And it's a good one. Do you want to hear it? The actual word is yortab. It basically means to make well. That's good, isn't it? To make well, or to sound beautiful. To be happy, successful. That's what we've been talking about, really. To be accepted. To be a benefit to others. It's to be the best. God is going to make me the best. God is going to prosper me. Actually, even that is slightly wrong. God has prospered you and is prospering you. He's made you the best. Amen. He doesn't just use you because he's God, he's got to. You know, you're a bit rubbish, but because he's God, he's got to use you. You're the best.
Yes.
That's why you're sitting here today. You're the best.
Yes.
It means to be content. It's about being diligent. It's about being well-dressed. Like my shirt. It's about finding favour. It's about being pleased. It's about being merry. God wants to prosper you. God wants to make you merry, happy, joyful. God is making you happy, joyful. His presence is with you. What is the presence of God like? It's like this. It's a prospering. It sounds beautiful. It makes you well. It causes you to be happy. It makes you walk in success. It causes you to be right with God. It makes you accepted with God. It makes you live in all the benefits of God and be a benefit to others. It makes things better. It makes things cheerful. It makes you content. It causes you to be diligent. It causes you to be earnest. It causes you to find favor. It causes you to be glad. It fills you full of goodness. It causes you to be merry. It causes you to be pleased. It causes you to know his kindness. It causes you to be skillful. It causes you to be a sweet aroma. It's a good word, yortab. And that's the presence, that's the anointing that's on you. All of those words is you. No wonder something happens when you start praying. When we walk into Tesco's, Tesco's is different because we've walked in. Because the anointing is on us.
Amen.
Not an arrogance, not a, I'm here, but just the anointing is with us. Bill Johnson has a story of years ago, I think, but where he used to go into a health shop regularly to get health food, I guess. But he said the shop was one that was, it was a very new age health shop. And lots of New Age people went in there to shop, and there was quite a lot of pagan elements, I guess, there. But that's where he chose to go to get his food, because he decided he was going to be the light in the darkness. He decided that the anointing that was on him was far, far greater than anything that was in that shop.
Hallelujah.
You see, Christians get so scared of these places. When we go, they change. Only if you get scared will you listen to the lies and the deception of the enemy and think that that's going to, you know, cause you trouble. You can walk into a nest of demons and be perfectly happy and fine because the anointing is on you. Jesus says, I am with you. You really reckon Jesus is going to have trouble in a pit of demons? So if there's a New Age fair going on, you can walk in and you can take the light of Jesus if you so desire. You can set up a tent and give prophecies to people. What we have is far superior. Let's not be afraid of darkness. Let's go and shine the light. You go into the darkest room and light the tiniest light, and that light dominates the room. A candle in this, even if we turn out every single light in this room and shut all the doors, it's a huge room full of darkness. Masses of darkness. You think of the volume of darkness in this room. And yet if we lit a candle, we would all see it. It would change the room. And that's exactly how we are. We are a prosperous, if you like, people. A Yortab people. A cheerful people. A happy people. A people who have the favour of God on them. Expect favour everywhere you go. You say, well, you know, there's people that... No, there's people that don't get that. There's people more unfortunate than me. Well, how are they going to be changed then? By someone that joins them or by someone that's got something? When I go anywhere, and it's a bit of a standing joke, but I've told you before, I always expect a parking space. The trouble is there's so many of you expecting this now, it's getting more difficult. But when you go shopping, you expect to find a bargain. When you order something off the internet, you expect it to suddenly have gone into sale. Well, don't you? I've got favour. You know, when I go to the town hall to meet somebody, just the right person's going to be there for me to meet. There's going to be a coincidence that they happen to be in the office when I need them. I remember once a wheel fell off our caravan. It was quite dramatic. It was coming back from faith camp and we were driving along the road and I looked in the rear view mirror. Well, actually, it was the wing mirror. I had one of those big ones you fit on the side. And I saw this wheel heading off back down the A47. Then I realised it was off our caravan. That was a scary moment. We pulled over to the edge with the caravan making rather uncomfortable noises as the fact that it didn't have a wheel. And the A47 on a Saturday, when you're coming back from faith camp in the middle of the summer holiday season, it's a busy road. But at the time this happened... Nothing. The wheel just rolled off down the road. And we went and got the wheel back. And it was very peculiar. It had sort of come off over the top of the nuts. It was all very weird what had happened with that. But anyway, the nuts that we had were useless and we didn't know what to do. And we were kind of, oh God, help us. And this car drew up and stopped. And they were a real encouragement. They were Christians, and they just prayed with us. They weren't from faith camp. They just happened to be people that stopped and helped. And then the next person that stopped and helped, well, it was an angel in a police uniform. Because he stopped to help, and he said, well, there's a garage a little way back. I'll take you back to the garage and we can see if we can get something so we can fix this wheel back on so at least you can get home. Because we looked at it and we thought, although there was quite a lot of chassis been scraped away, we reckon we could limp home. And so he said, I'll give you a lift. He said, yeah, first of all, he said, I'm not allowed to give you a lift. And then he said, I'll give you a lift. So I said, okay. And so this policeman took me up to this garage. And we walked into the garage and I said, I'm looking for some wheel nuts for this wheel. This is one of the ones that's come off. I need some, because the thread had been taken out. And he said, oh, well, you're lucky. He said, I'm normally closed on a Saturday. I don't know why I'm open really today. And then he looked at these nuts and he said, oh, I'm sorry. He said, they're really old. I mean, it was an old caravan. He said, they're really old. I haven't seen anything like that for years. He said, I'll have a look, he said, but, you know, he said, I don't think I'm going to be able to help you. And he walked back into the office and he walked straight back out again. He said, I don't quite understand it, but there on the desk, whatever, I think it was four or six or whatever, there were six of these bolts and nuts, which are the ones that, or bolts that you want. I said, I don't know where they've come from, but they're yours. And so I said, how much? And he gave this outrageous price. And the policeman standing next to me just coughed. and said, that sounds very expensive. And so the guy said, well, I suppose 10p each. Or it was something literally as cheap. It was less than a pound for all the bolts. Because the policeman was still with me. I mean, he was supposed to be on duty up and down the A47. He's waiting around because he's got to give me a lift back. And so we get the bolts from a garage that should have been shut, from a garage that didn't stock them, from a garage that was going to charge an outrageous price for less than a pound. And I get a lift back in a police car, which is not allowed to happen. And the policeman stays with me the whole time, which he's not allowed to do. And we get back to the caravan and jacket up and we got the wheel on and we got home. But I expect God's favour, don't you? I don't know if I did then, but that certainly taught me a lesson. No, I guess I always have a bit, I've always been a bit of a presumptuous. Yeah, expect God's favour because he's with you, he's prospering you. No wonder you're going to see the miraculous. When Jesus said to the people, unless I'm doing the works of the Father, don't believe in me. We can say the same thing. Because he's with us. He's still doing the works of the Father through the body. Joshua, faced with filling Moses' shoes, what does God say to him? I will be with you. I mean, Joshua, what a job. He'd got to do what Moses hadn't done. Moses was an unbelievable leader. You know, he's still rightly and correctly revered amongst the Jewish people. He's still rightly and correctly revered amongst Christian people. And poor old Josh, he was the guy that had to take over. That's a bad call. You really want to follow a bad leader, because then whatever you do, it's going to seem better. I've never wanted to go and lead an area where everything was really going great, because it's much more difficult. Poor Joshua, apart from the fact they hadn't gone into the promised land, and that was a big bad one, but they'd had a good time. You know, they'd got the Ten Commandments, they'd got the tabernacle, they'd got everything up and running, pillars of cloud, pillars of fire, no battles, no farms, no shoe shopping. That could have been a bad thing. And Joshua had to lead him on. What did God say to encourage him? Apart from be bold and be strong, I will be with you. What does God say to you when you face stuff that you think you can't possibly do? I will be with you. Of course it will happen. I will be with you. Of course it's going to happen. Gideon, an impossible task. Go and get victory amongst these people that have been oppressing the Jews for years and years and years. They were so frightened he's threshing his corn in the wine press. And Gideon, he says he's the least of my family. And his family was the least of his tribe. And the tribe was the least of Israel. He had nothing in the natural to become the leader of the country at that time. Gideon wouldn't have been considered by anyone except the Lord. And what does the Lord say to him? I will be with you. So of course he can do it. He might be the least of his family, and his family the least of the tribe, and the tribe the least of the nation. But God is with him. And you might be the least. You might feel like you're at the bottom of the pile, whether it's of your family or of society. You might feel that you're not a success, or you might feel that you are a failure. But you're not, because God is with you. And you will succeed, you will prosper, because God is with you. Israel 41 verse 10. This is a good one. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Of course it's going to work. Of course there's going to be miracles when you pray for people in Aldi. I mean, you can believe for miracles in Tesco's and Sainsbury's, but miracles in Aldi, that's another step, isn't it? You need miracles every time you buy. No. Sorry, Aldi. They're not going to sponsor me now. Isaiah 43. Let's go there for a second, and then we're going to finish real soon. Fear not. This is the Lord speaking to you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. That means I've bought you. You're mine. I have summoned you, or I have called you by name. You are mine. That word that's used, summoned there, or called in some translation, it's a word that means, in a literal sense, to accost someone. When it says, when God says, I have called you, it's not like God is over here going, I don't know, let's see who should we pick on today. Adam, or Alex, or Suzanne, come. Nigel, come. God doesn't call you like that. God calls you more like this. Nigel, come on. I'm summoning you. We're doing this together. I'm always with you. Be bold, be strong. That's how God calls us. All right, or maybe it's a bit more like this. Thanks, Nigel. He accosts us. He comes across whatever we're doing and says, that's the wrong direction. This one, come on. Come on, drop that. Let go of that. Get on with this. Stop wallowing in your own pit of self-pity. Come on, follow me. What are you doing down there? Come on, get up. Here's my hand. Right, pull you out. You're the lost sheep? He goes and finds the lost sheep. Right, you, come on, back to the fold. Come on, I'm calling you to join me, to be with me. It's not some, oh, Chris, if only you'd follow me. It's, come on, Chris. Right. Now, there's a few things I've got for you to do. Yeah, you weren't ready. You had all kinds of stuff, but you're walking with God now. Now, I've got these meetings I want you to lead. I don't know how to lead meetings. Yes, you do. I'm with you. I'll give you the words to say. He accosts us. He says, yeah, you can do it. I'm going to be with you. I'll give you the literal words to speak if you need me to. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, so there is going to be difficult stuff, this is saying. There's going to be stuff that leaves you feeling like you're drowning. It can be despair. It can be depression. Depression is like drowning. You feel like you're getting detached from the world. But when you go through the waters, I will be with you. Those of you that suffer, that have struggled with depression, he says, I will be with you. In other words, we're coming out the other side. We are coming out the other side. Trouble with things like that, it can feel like it's never, ever going to end. Mental illness is a nasty, or mental struggles are nasty little things because it's very difficult to have faith and grab hold of the end. What does Jesus say to you at that time? I am with you. We're going right through. When you walk through the waters, they will not cover you. You're not going to drown. We're going right on through. The analogy continues. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. But you might go through, or you will go through fire. You will go through times of testing. Because those times of testing are going to make you awesome. You are the best, remember? Yeah, and you're only going to get better. The word of God says you're being transformed from glory to glory. Not a low, rotten state to something that's a bit better. From glory to glory. You're already glorious, but God is changing you all the time. And he's accosting you and saying, come on. Stop messing about. Stop thinking you've got to do it. Stop thinking that you've got to work it out. Just follow me. Just do what I've said. I am always with you. Amen. You will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's been times in my life when I've held on to those words. The fire's burning, or maybe the water's sweeping over the top of your head. You think, I will not drown. I'm not going to be burned. I'm not even going to come out smelling the smoke. Come on. I'm nearly at the end. Yeah, we'll miss you out, Jeremiah. Sorry. Let's go to Darth Vader. I mean, Jesus. Matthew 28:20. Then Jesus came to them and said, that slight pause was because I had this picture of my mind of Jesus as a Jedi Knight, which probably wasn't a good one. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. The word from God to his people when he calls them to do something has not changed from Abraham to the calling of the disciples to go on the Great Commission. Later on in Acts, you can read when God says to Paul, I will be with you. It doesn't change. Here he says to the disciples, I will be with you. And then he says to the disciples, teach them everything I've taught you. So we're to teach to others, I will always be with you. So God is saying, whoever is called, whoever answers the call to go and fulfill the Great Commission, I will be with you. There is genuinely a call on every single person in this room, every single person that knows Jesus, to fulfill the Great Commission to go and make disciples. But most people think, I can't do it, it's too difficult. But you can, because I will go with you, says the Lord. It would be good if all of us were praying that you know, within a year's time we're all discipling others that are new Christians. It can happen. Yeah, It will happen if you grab hold of it. But you've got to be prepared for the cost of doing it. When you go to heaven, do you want at some point to see all these people that you brought into the kingdom? Whether directly or when then they saw someone saved and then they saw someone saved. My desire is to see a long trail of people of how, and you think, thank God, I obey God nearly all the time. Because I can't say all the time because I haven't done that already. But I don't want to get there and there's one person. Well, it'd be nice that one person's there, but it'd be a bit sad, wouldn't it? Because God says, go and make disciples. I don't know how to make disciples. I haven't had enough training. You've had enough training. Come on, let's get going. I'm accosting you, says the Lord. You've had all the training you're going to need, and anything else you need, I'm going to do it on the way. We're going to walk this together. It's easy when you see this and you think about the New Testament to think, you know, well, that was some sort of elite group. They weren't an elite group. You read the Gospels. They were fearful people. They just betrayed Jesus. They were betrayers. They were greedy. They were prideful. They were angry. They were self-centered. They thought they knew better than Jesus and tried to tell him to do something different. What a bunch. And they're the bunch that gets the first bite at the Great Commission. They had the call to change the world. Right. Last bit of my notes. Ready? One sentence. Do you really live your day knowing that the Holy Spirit is with you? See, aren't you pleased? I don't normally read them. And the last paragraph here. We are anointed. Smeared with God's presence. His power-filled presence. Expect the supernatural. Expect to prosper. And all that goes with it. The anointing is not on the church for the church. Not just for our enjoyment. For the world. In the kingdom, we only get to keep what we give away. The anointing is with us to enable the world to encounter God. We will cry out for greater anointing. We will smear the anointing on others, for that breaks the yoke of darkness. Amen. Praise God. Let's just stand for a minute, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, as we stand here right now, we pray that you would open our eyes to enable us to see that you are with us. That each moment of each day, we would have that awareness, that constant awareness that you are with us. Because we know, Lord, if we've got that, if we're walking with that, if we're walking in that anointing of God, things around us have just got to change. We'll see your name glorified. We'll see people getting saved. We'll see people getting healed. We'll see the miraculous power of God changing lives around us. I thank you, Jesus, that you are in each one of us. And that this week, wherever we go, we take that anointing. Nigel's off to Kenya, Lord, but we're off to Scarborough and the Yorkshire. And we're taking the anointing. And it's no different. Father, give us opportunities to talk about Jesus. Give us opportunities to pray for people. And Father, like you said to Joshua, I pray that we would answer the call to be bold and courageous when we feel afraid and know that you are with us. It's not going to be clever answers. It's not going to be able to answer every argument. It's the anointing. It's the presence of God. I thank you, Father, that we don't have to know the answer to every single question that people might ask. We just have the anointing. And Father, we pray that anointing upon us would increase. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the anointing being released in this room right now. Hallelujah. If you just reach out your hands, some of you will even feel the the anointing just resting on you and filling you. Thank you, Jesus. It will feel like honey almost dripping over your hands and oil pouring over your head right now. Hallelujah. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, increase. Come, Holy Spirit, increase. Hallelujah. Keep receiving. Keep receiving. Even if you're not feeling anything, that's not important. Just believe God's word. I am with you. I will bless you. I will prosper you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you're experiencing pain in your body, I want you to take your right hand. Just look at your right hand for a minute and realize that that is the hand of Jesus, because you are his body and he is with you. And then if it's possible, place that hand on the area that is hurting or hurts at times. Place it as near as, if it's not possible to get right to it. Or if there's a vagueness to it, you can just put your hand on your head. Now, as you put your hand there, and your hand is there now, realize that that is the hand of Jesus. So how can you possibly not be healed? You know that Jesus healed so many people. John writes that all the books of the world wouldn't be enough to write down the amount of miracles that Jesus did. Well, he's still doing them. As your hand is there right now, just receive your healing. Hallelujah. Let healing be released through you. Thank you, Jesus. Some people find it helpful to raise the other hand. It's like you're raising it up into the anointing. So you can feel God flow right through you and right through your other hand into the area that was hurting. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you've been struggling with negative thoughts and depression or just wrong thinking and you need your mind to be cleared up, what I want you to do is take both your hands, just look at them for a minute and realize these are Jesus' hands. And then place your hands on your head like I'm doing here right now. And as you do that, just let the healing flow through your hands into your mind. Let your mind be washed clean. Let your brain be restored. Father, any physical conditions in people's brains right now, we release your healing. Where depression is being caused through medical reasons, we pray, Lord, for those corrections to be done. And even if they're not an actual physical thing in the mind, Father, just as those hands rest, your hands rest on that person's head, let your healing go through that mind. As it says in the Word, we have the mind of Christ, and your minds have been renewed in him. Father, I pray for renewing of minds. People who've struggled to believe, Father, faith is being released right now. People who've struggled to be in victory and have a positive approach, Father, we release your happiness, your peace, your joy, your prosperity that we were talking about earlier, your tab into that person's mind right now, just as their hands are resting on their head. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. If you need blessing financially, if you have a wallet or a purse or something like that with you, if you need a financial blessing, well, why don't we all do this? If anybody can receive a financial blessing, can't they? If you've got a wallet or a purse or a checkbook or a credit card or just a pound coin, whatever you've got, just take it out and hold it in your left hand. I'm just using this because this is symbolic, obviously, of our income. Wherever the income comes from, this purse, the wallet, the card, it's just symbolic. Hallelujah. If you've got nothing, just imagine it in your left hand. And then take your right hand and just look at your right hand and realize that that is the hand of Christ. And then take that right hand and place it on top of your wallet or your purse. And just release his anointing into all your finances. He wants to prosper you. Jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, as we used to say. Bills paid off, debts demolished. These are all things of God. Hallelujah. Father, as we lay your hand on that, on the income and the wealth of everybody in this room, Father, we pray for your anointing of prosperity and favor to multiply it, Father, that we could be an even more generous people. Hallelujah. Father, we pray for a miracle that this church would be known as the generous church, because the people of this church are just full of your heart of generosity. And Father, for that to happen, we also need to prosper as well. Thank you, Lord. So we release prosperity, not for us just to benefit ourselves, but for us to be able to benefit others. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are always with us. We release that healing of finances now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.